I bring you now to the first half of the 21st century. Gerard Tonra, a 62-year-old gallery owner, quietly makes breakfast as his 24-year-old daughter sits at her laptop attempting to write poetry. They've got a small Los Angeles apartment which sits above their decades-old portrait gallery. Through the sizzling of early morning bacon and the furious clicking of a computer keyboard, our second story begins.
How many eggs, sweetie?
Into splinters, scattering like porcelain? Like plexiglass? No, God, no.
Sweetie.
Just a minute. Like, just 2 minutes.
It's too early for this, Sess.
Oh, Dad. Perfect. Choose a word. Porcelain or plexiglass?
What are the stakes?
Life and death, obviously.
Fate of the world, you say?
Naturally.
Plexiglass drives a hard bargain. But my gut is telling me porcelain.
Huh. Porcelain. Really?
Gotta go with your gut.
You're no help.
Gerard's patience is wearing thin.
Da, 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 da,
what?
Da, 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 da,
what?
Da, da, da. The eggs. How many?
3. Sheesh, you'd think I was in a police interrogation.
On behalf of this nation's law enforcement, I'm offended. You still working on that magazine article?
They're poems, Dad.
Poetry, right. Sorry, just forgetful.
The interview's tomorrow.
Interview?
For the magazine!
I thought you weren't writing an article.
Poetry! It's a poetry magazine!
I fail to see the difference.
You know, I fail to see why they need an interview for a goddamn magazine. I'm not supposed to be auditioning for a position like some kind of trained monkey.
Just more hoops to jump through.
Exactly. But once I'm in, I've broken through.
Sure thing, sweetie.
I need it to work out. 2 months, 2 poems, and only 1 left to go. One more line of one more poem.
You're in the home stretch.
And it's down to porcelain or plexiglass. Time to make a decision, Cecily.
Gerard rushes 2 plates to the table.
Egg a la Tonra.
Tonra. I'm sure you remember the name.
Mom would be proud.
You're damn right she would be. I used paprika and everything.
I wish I could just put it down. Write a poem, close the dock, and call it a day.
Then do it.
Yeah, do it. It's not that easy, especially in this town.
I'm sure it isn't, sweetie.
People here move too fast. Always looking for a different angle to take their shot. It's freaky, like they're robots or something.
They're just doing their best.
Fundraisers, influencers, putting yourself out there. I see it everywhere. It's like... You know your freshman year of college?
I'm aware of it, yes.
You think, this'll be it, this'll be the new me. You're primed and ready to audition your next personality. That's exactly what they're like. A brand new skin for every day of the week.
That doesn't mean they aren't trying. It's natural, sweetie. Some mornings, even I feel like a new person.
That's different, that's real.
Why? We're all different people. We're never just one thing. And of course, we've got to put ourselves out there. It's the reality of being a working adult.
Frustrated, Cecily pulls the computer closer and continues work.
No, sweetie, stop.
Dad, I'm not in high school.
Exactly. You're 24 and out of college. There are some things you need to understand.
What are you trying to say, Dad?
Call the studio back.
I've already decided.
I know you, Cess. You used to love screenwriting. I mean, love it.
I can't believe we're having this conversation right now.
Groverlin Productions? This is big, Cecily. You can't just downplay that opportunity.
Those scripts, those movies, they don't mean anything, Dad.
I know. Believe me, I know. But I think it's time for a change. I love you. You know that. And I love having you here. But it's time for you to start making your own way.
Making my own way? God, I knew it. You're asking me to move out.
Not right away. I never forced you out, Cess. You're my daughter. It's just that I can't support you and Lola here for much longer.
Lola? Lola doesn't live here. How are you supporting my girlfriend?
Honey, she's here every night.
She doesn't stay.
No, not every night. But when she does, she's always off.
My God, I can't believe this. I don't understand how you'd think it'd be okay to bring her into this.
Cecily, please calm down.
No, don't tell me to be calm. Don't bring up something like that and then tell me to be calm. That's way too personal, okay, Dad?
All right, I'm sorry.
You want me out? Fine. I'll go, but don't ever, ever. The front entrance? It's too early for visitors. Dad, who is it? Oh my God, please tell me this isn't who I think it is.
He said he wanted to meet you, Cecily. I didn't think he'd be here this early.
I'm wearing a sweatshirt!
Honey, he won't care. He probably meets with artistic people all the time.
Ugh.
I thought you didn't care anymore.
Fine.
At least give him a chance.
Fine.
Take his offer seriously.
Fine, fine, fine.
Tell me how it goes.
Cecily quickly puts her hair up before walking down the stairs to the gallery and towards the main entrance. She takes a deep, exhausted breath and unlocks the door, pulling it open to reveal a broad-shouldered man in a well-fitted suit.
Wow, fantastic space! Howdy!
He extends a massive hand.
I'm Arthur Janus. It truly is a pleasure.
Another familiar name. The descendants of a troubled past are beginning to intersect. She meets his handshake with caution.
Cecily Tonra, nice to meet you.
Beautiful paintings. They're all originals?
As far as I know, you'd have to ask my father.
Gorgeous. Truly, all of them. Visions. And your father was the man who returned the phone call?
Yep, that was him.
Artistic fathers.
Sorry?
Artistic fathers. It's something we have in common.
Oh.
A painter, though he stopped before I was even born. From what I understand, he still donates to local art institutions from time to time. But enough talk of the past. From what I've read, you're somewhat of an artist yourself.
Wouldn't go that far.
What a load of malarkey! You should be proud of the scripts you've provided.
Well, Mr.
Arthur, please.
Well, Arthur, with all due respect, I declined Groveland's previous offer.
Yes, yes you did. However, that was before you met me. Now the situation has developed.
He produces a piece of paper from the inner pocket of his blazer and hands it to Cecily. For the briefest moment, she looks shocked.
That's...
better?
Much better.
Are we reconsidering?
I just...
take all the time you need.
I just can't.
Is there a problem?
No, it's just not for me.
I'm not sure I understand.
Poetry. I'm a poet. These scripts, this format, it's not enough.
Poetry.
Correct.
Why the sudden change of heart?
I've always respected poetry, admired it from afar. I love movies, don't get me wrong. I mean, I grew up on them. But poems always held this allure I could never quite catch.
I understand. It's a lost art form, a dying breed. But Cecily, poems aren't a family experience. They don't fill theaters, and they definitely don't sell merchandise.
Then I'm sorry, Arthur. I can't help you.
Well, darn it. Better luck next time. Thank you for having me, Cecily.
Anytime, Arthur.
He heads for the door.
Oh, I nearly forgot.
Arthur walks back and hands her the paperwork.
Keep this. Mull it over, just in case poetry doesn't go your way.
The gallery takes on an entirely different aspect at night. Mysterious, almost threatening, occasionally illuminated as the lights of passing cars flicker across the many canvases. There's barely enough light to make out the silhouette of a young woman weaving her way through the artistic jungle. She goes painting by painting, occasionally stopping to take notes or scribble in her sketchbook. Suddenly, a familiar voice calls from the apartment level.
Lola?
Cecily makes her way down into the gallery.
Jesus, why you gotta sneak up on me like that?
I thought you were an intruder.
Intruder? Here in the 21st century, we like to call them burglars.
Shut up.
With a quick kiss, the two of them sit down on one of the gallery's many padded benches.
Why are you here so late?
Thought I'd pop by for a little midnight inspiration. Gerard won't be pissed, will he?
You know, Dad. He likes to go ballistic about things that don't amount to anything.
Right. You can always count on Gerard for a spiel. What wise guy invented chopsticks? Two cartons! I told you, two cartons! Is he off your ass about the Groveland people yet?
Oh, God. God, why did you bring that up?
Do I detect a sore spot?
It's like, why keep pushing me on that? I mean, he knows I'm stressed with the poetry portfolio.
How's that going, by the way?
Don't ask. I spent 3 hours this afternoon trying to decide if the word porcelain was too weak.
A rare moment of Cecily indecision. How exciting.
God, it's over. 2 years out from college, and my artistic career is going down the drain because I can't decide between plexiglass or porcelain. It's fucking futile.
Maybe there's nothing futile about it. You've got time. When's the interview? Next Thursday?
I've got to hand it to you. You were close. Real close.
Next Wednesday?
Getting warmer.
Next Monday?
Warmer.
It's tomorrow, isn't it?
Bingo.
Look, you're gonna kill it. Even if the interview is tomorrow, I've read your stuff this time around, and I think this is it. The one about the willow tree? Killer.
You know what they say, fifth time's a charm.
The way I see it, even a chance to make the magazine is better than a guaranteed deal with Groveland.
I don't know, Lola.
Are you kidding? It's either take a shot at something you love or shill yourself out to the movies. The choice seems pretty clear.
Does it? Because if you asked me a month ago, maybe I'd agree, but it's getting harder. I'm getting tired. That's all I'm saying.
Sussy.
I love poetry. You know I love it. But every time I try, every collection I submit, I miss the mark. Maybe as a screenwriter, I can scrape by. My poetry's good, Lola, but it's not good enough for print. I know that, you know it. Being successful as a poet takes more than a little talent. It takes genius.
Maybe you don't need genius.
She pulls a small prescription bottle from her coat pocket.
Maybe you just need a little motivation.
Lola, what are you saying?
There's this pill, Cecily.
A pill?
It's called Illumisil. It's helped me, Cess. I know it would help you.
Jesus,
too.
This is a new low.
Hear me out, Cess. Please just hear me out. It's a pill for creative people, painters, musicians, poets. It kills that writer's block, that uninspiration that we all feel sometimes. You say your poems aren't good enough? This might be the solution. It'll end that indecisiveness you always feel in your writing. I know it will.
And we're back here again? Pills? Really, Lola? I thought we were done with this.
I know what you're thinking, baby. Of course, I know, but you're wrong.
Stop it, Lola.
You're just wrong. Cecily, it's over-the-counter. It's not addictive, and it works.
Over-the-counter? Since when was that code for okay?
I know you. I know you think it's horseshit, but it will help you.
It doesn't matter if it's horseshit, Lola.
Of course it does. How many of these startups lie to us? Promise us things that don't exist. This one actually delivers. I've made more paintings. I've made better paintings. And I know you're gonna hate this. I've started picking up some money. Not from pandering or shilling myself out, but from doing what I love. Doing more of what I love. So please listen to me for once, Cecily.
I don't listen to you. I don't listen to you. When you stumble in here every other night, high out of your mind on whatever cool thing you're trying this week.
Cecily,
Now you're gonna reason with me, tell me that something's different, that you're gonna be better next time?
This isn't like that, Cecily.
Exactly. It isn't. Because this time, you're trying to get me in on it. I want to make money, I want to work hard or better at doing what I love, then that's down to me, not you, not some miracle pill.
You tell yourself that. You tell yourself that and then you sit back down to write. Stare at the blank page, at that little blinking cursor. And then you say, I should take a break. You'll be sitting in that interview tomorrow and you still won't be able to shake that feeling that your themes weren't good enough, that your verse was too long, that you chose the wrong word. I know you'll never beat that, Cecily.
Then maybe you don't know me at all. Because I can beat it. I will beat it. I think you should go, Lola.
What?
I think you should let me write without breathing down my neck or telling me what I should do.
Is that what you think I do? Is that what you think I am?
Leave. Just leave, Lola.
You want me gone? You want to find your own way? Fine. Go and find it. I look forward to tomorrow's post-interview meltdown.
As Lola storms out of the room, Cecily sits nervously in the dark. She patiently waits for the next day, unaware as to the chaos it will bring.
Cecily, isn't it?
Yes, that's me. Miss Carroll, I'd like to apologize. I slept in.
Please, don't be ridiculous. We all slip up now and then. There's no need to stand at attention when we can sit.
The literary editor quickly opens her binder, carefully moving her cup of coffee to the side of the table.
As I understand it, you're submitting to our September catalog?
Yes.
Three pieces, each poetry. Ah, there we are. Willow, Condensation, and Plexiglass.
It's me.
Miss Tonra, you've produced some very good work for us here.
Thank you?
Technically very promising. I mean, gorgeous sentences, bursting with simile. I am, however, interested to learn a little more about the content.
Content?
Meaning. What do you see your goal in poetry, so to speak?
Well, my poems usually come to me after something catches my eye. A little pattern, an insect, a tree. Something which seems out of place, almost alien. I like describing them as accurately as I can, almost like an exercise.
Let me think of a way to rephrase this. Take Willow, for example. Describe to me what that poem means to you, what it speaks to beyond simply verse or prose.
Well, the idea for Willow came from an old childhood memory.
Good.
My parents brought me to this big property. Can't remember why. Must have belonged to a family friend. All I can remember from that trip was climbing to the top of this lanky old willow tree, wind in my hair, world under me, sun in the sky.
Ah, so it's a recount of childhood innocence, the unchained liberation of a pure spirit.
No, it's a description. It has nothing to do with how I felt, where I was, what that experience even gave me. Just to do with the look of the tree. Just the way the dozens of leaves sorted the sunlight into manageable little packets. The way the willow's base shrunk to the size of a shoebox below. That's all it is.
Purely descriptive. All right.
Is there something up?
No, nothing at all. It's just that, well, I... Miss Tonra, I'm accustomed to more depth.
I thought you said you liked my submissions.
I do. Of course I do. As I said, you show great technical skill. But I do wish I had seen more beneath the surface. Psychological subtext, social commentary. Anything political, that's it. That's all I'm trying to say.
I apologize. I didn't see any thematic guidelines on your website.
It's not... Oh, we're not. I'm sorry, Miss Tonra. There's clearly been a misunderstanding regarding the quality expected by our publication.
With a single swift motion, Miss Carewell closes her binder.
Excuse me. Miss Carewell, I've submitted 5 times and I've never once been rejected because my work was too surface level. You're not making any sense.
I don't want this to be confrontational. I'm just...
It doesn't seem fair. You're a poetry magazine. I've got poetry. What else can I give you?
She signals to the waiter.
Could I get the check, please?
Please tell me. I'd like to know.
I think it's best we don't make a scene.
It's just frustrating.
I know, dear. I know how hard it can be.
Then help me.
I'll pay for coffee. My treat.
Please, Miss Carroll, please, please. I can't do this all again.
I don't think this is going to work out.
Miss Carroll!
And just like that, Cecily Tonra is sitting at an empty table. Through her angry tears, she sprints back to the apartment, seeking consolation from home. But, unbeknownst to her, she is dancing on the edge of a precipice. And from the bottom, they watch carefully, waiting for her to miss a step.
Descriptive? Purely descriptive? What? It doesn't meet their quality standards. Not even close. And you sit there and take that shit? No, not even that. You ask her for advice. I can't do it all over again. Please help me. God, I can't do this. I can't. I reread them over and over again, and I just can't. It's when I think they're good. That's it. Just a thought. Another crazy thought coming from someone who can't see through their own stupid, stupid ego. Okay. Stay focused. Don't go crazy. You can always do something else. Interior design, playwriting. It doesn't all hinge on this. Except in those nights when you'll stay awake wondering if it actually could have happened. And I know you will. This is it. This is what you're meant to do, and you've got to do better! You've got to do better than this, Cecily!
Lola enters the apartment, eyes set on Cecily. She's watched this sad scene one too many times.
Come on! You're gonna sit down, you're gonna write, you're gonna make it good!
Finally, she intervenes.
Baby, stop.
Good! Make it good!
Cecily, stop! You're okay. Whatever they said, whatever you think it means, you're going to be okay. Look at me.
They don't care. They don't care how much time I put in, how badly I want it, how many times I try.
No, they don't. But that's exactly why you've got to keep going.
Lola, I can't. If I keep going and going and going like this, I'll destroy myself.
I know it's hard, but I've seen you find it in yourself 1,000 times. You're the best writer I know, Cess. You just need to find it again. Find that motivator which pushes you on, which lets you do what you love. Find...
the pills.
What?
An elegant solution.
Those pills.
In Lumisil?
You said they helped you think, helped you work.
Baby, it was unfair of me to try and force that on you. You don't need to do something just because it helped me.
Lola, I need something right now. Anything. I just need a way out of this rut I'm stuck in.
You're not thinking like yourself. I know you aren't. I know you after failure.
Please.
Carefully, Lola unscrews the child-safe prescription lid and extracts a small violet pill. She stares at it, almost hungry.
This. Right now, you're sure you're comfortable with this?
Lola, I'm okay.
With a small hint of hesitation, Lola places the pill into Cecily's outstretched palm.
I'm giving you one, because I only have a few left. Take my advice and swallow it with some water, and for the love of God, don't chew. The effects last for about an hour, so you'll need to find a stimulus quickly.
Stimulus?
That feeling of inspiration really only kicks in after you tell it to. Listen to some music you love, read a chapter of your favorite book. I always walk down Melrose, look at some street art.
Where should I even start?
You live in an art museum. You just have to find the right painting.
Without a second thought, Cecily eagerly swallows the pill.
Will I know it when I see it?
Oh, you'll know it. You'll feel it.
1 hour?
1 hour.
And so the die is cast. They set out in search of her inspiration, unaware as to how much danger they are truly in. Searching frantically through every corner of the collection surrounding her, Miss Tonra needs a strike of lightning. And after minutes of desperate hunting, she finds it. Hiding in a forgotten corner of a small art gallery, it had waited patiently for decades. Eureka.
This.
What is it?
Beautiful. Completely, totally beautiful.
You feel it?
I feel it.
And like Calvin Linwood before her, Cecily begins to create. Automatically, mechanically, without second thought, she takes pen to page.
I knew this would help you, my love. Now, we're almost out of pills, and we're gonna need more. Ordering them would be too slow, way too slow. I'll head to their store. It's in East Hollywood, corner of Romaine and Alexandria, not too far from here.
Lola quickly throws on her jacket and scribbles a note which she leaves for Cecily.
I know it's hard for you to hear me right now, but I'll be back, baby, before you know it. We'll get this thing done. Together.
With the blow of a kiss, Lola is out the door, leaving Cecily to toil at her new stroke of genius. The drugs seep into the deep cracks of her prefrontal cortex. Second after second, minute after minute, with each hour that passes, the pills grow ever sparser. Until finally, there is no inspiration left in the bottle.
Lola. Lola?
She finds the note.
No, no, no! I'm so close! Two more stanzas max! I need just a little more. Now!
Ever hit a brick wall solving a problem or completing a story?
East Hollywood? How far is that? 40-minute walk?
That pit in your stomach as you know you just can't finish it?
They've gotta have more. They'll need to have more.
The sense of hunger, of biting desperation. Well, it never leaves you, I suppose.
Hello, ma'am. How may I be?
In the missile? The pill? Am I in the right place?
Well, that is one of our ventures, yes.
East Hollywood. Cecily was in the right place, walking straight into the lion's jaws.
Great, great. Now, legally, how many bottles can I purchase?
You're looking to buy? Our products are usually pre-ordered.
So this isn't a store?
More of a corporate warehouse. We don't have any locations yet.
If this is a warehouse, then you must have inventory.
Plenty. Are you registered with us?
No.
Wonderful. Last name?
Tonra. T-O-N-R-A.
Cecily!
She spins around to meet the broad grin of Arthur Janus.
Jesus, you scared me.
I apologize. That wasn't my intention. How's the life of a poet treating you?
Great. It's going great.
I'm so glad. And gosh darn it, will you look at that? You got some poetry right there.
I sure do.
Doesn't look finished.
No, not yet.
Well, let's get you sorted. Eloise, could we have the room?
He gestures to the receptionist.
Of course, Mr. Janus.
I don't understand.
I own the place.
But you're a movie executive. You're the Groveland guy.
Let me show you.
Cecily follows Arthur carefully into the next room of the complex. Immediately, they are greeted by the sound of endless clicking computers. Dozens of people type mindlessly on a series of desktop devices. Occasionally, one of them dips their hands into a container next to them and consumes a handful of violet-colored pills. Most look as though they haven't slept in days.
This is one of our writer's rooms. One of a few across this great state. Soon, one of many across America. Yes. As much in Lumisil as you could possibly want. Enough inspiration to last 10,000 lifetimes.
What's going on? What is this?
This is Sequoia. A multimedia conglomerate of which I am the CFO. Go ahead and touch them. They won't notice.
That doesn't answer my question. What is this, Arthur?
He picks up one of the pills, holding it to the light.
What is this? This is how we've come to dominate the film industry over the last few years. A way of targeting an individual's reward system and helping them to achieve what they never could without us. It's a symbiosis.
And this has existed for years? Years and it never got out?
Those in power were always aware of us. Super corporations, billionaires, heck, even the government. Sequoia began as a federal program researching new methods of combating communism during the 50s. We've since branched out.
The public doesn't know. We don't know.
You watch the movies. As long as the dads and moms and sisters and brothers and girlfriends and boyfriends and dogs and birthday parties sit down in the theater, as long as anyone sits down in the theater, we'll be here to entertain them.
What about these people? The artists you've enslaved to your business model.
Enslaved? They aren't enslaved. They're free to leave whenever they wish. They've grown to love it here, as I'm sure you will too.
What?
This is what we do, Cecily. We search high and low for the best and brightest writers in the industry. We introduce them to Lumisil, and we provide them with a simple choice. You can stay with us, stay with Lumisil, and feel that endlessly gratifying rush of inspiration for the rest of your conscious life. Or you can leave, make your own way, struggle to succeed in an industry which belongs to us. Now, I'm not forcing you. I'm not controlling you. I'm offering you a choice. Right now. And it's down to you.
I choose to leave.
She wheels around, slowly walking backwards to the door. Before she can reach it, she freezes, shaking, tears streaming down her cheeks.
Somehow, I thought you'd be different, but you're just like the rest.
My father, my girlfriend, my old life. I'd be writing movie scripts. I'd be giving up.
But that feeling of boundless, addictive, beautiful creativity flowing like unending spring water. When you feel that, it doesn't matter whether you're writing a movie or a poem or a play. The only thing that matters is that you're writing. Writing words that weren't there before. And with just one little pill. With just one choice.
I'd have made it.
In every sense.
I'd be creating art.
Every day.
And I'd be happy.
Always.
Miss Tonra never finished that poem, never put pen to that paper again. Her few unfinished lines of poetry were neatly filed away deep within the cold heart of the corporation that had squeezed her genius dry. But she wasn't alone. With every passing day, Sequoia stripped another life of meaning and added it to their growing pile of firewood, kindling the spark of the 1950s into a raging flame. But now, I stepped into the story. You see, I was born into the bonfire. Instead of screaming like so many other children of my generation, I enjoyed the heat. I reveled in it. For many, the 2070s were an end rather than a beginning. It was a period of extinction, species, cultures, religions, even governments. Anything deemed vestigial was inevitably cut away. The movies had long passed into the mundane and derivative. Food was dominated by franchise, and books were fewer by the day. However, there was one area where art still clung desperately, to the skin of society. Music. This was the fruit of our story. The story of a band. The story of one final song.